Right, I'll leave you to find the cookies.
And can you hear me like this? Okay. So what was it? It is still recording.
Yes, it's recording.
Okay. So I already managed. Right. Okay. Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I can see there are still people whom we haven't met yet. So let me introduce myself. My name is Pavel Sinek. I work as a regional sales manager in EBSCO Information Services. I'm responsible for Central Europe. I'm here on behalf also of my colleague Tamer Borenstein, our vice president for SaaS strategy, who couldn't just make it for this presentation because of a delayed flight. First of all, I would like also to thank Mr. Miklós Lendvai and the whole National Library for the opportunity to be here and give the presentation on Folio. So, it was already said in here, future of libraries is open, and we truly believe in that. I would like to talk about the partnerships in Folio and also what it is, how it works, where is it seated, what are the principles, and also if there are any questions to maybe address them and give you the answers. So what is Folio about? You can see there is an image of a bee. So it could be also similarity with the Folio. What are the bees? It's a community, isn't it? One bee means nothing. So this is the same for Folio. It is about community, it's about partnership, it's about talking to each other. The libraries, they have many issues, problems, challenges, ideas, and so-called dreams. So what is Folio bringing to them? So it's, let's say, we have the saying in Czech, that goes like more heads knows no more. So the community or the philosophy of Folio is to bring together the libraries. Right now, the traditional monolithic systems, also called integrated library systems, what they are, what they give you, they are monolithic. So they usually give you a certain workflow you have to adopt. Otherwise, you have no way to work with that. So Folio is bringing that to the opposite, to hear the libraries, what you need the system to do for you, how you can benefit from the system. It brings you more choices. If you have one big system, there is a limited chances or limited programs, limited applications, limited features you can work with. With Folio, it gives you a free or let's say freedom and independence in what you want to use at your library as a service, as a feature, as an application. I said it's a lot about the community, but if an open source project has to be effective, it is not just about gathering and talking what we wish the system to be, what we wish it to work like. So we need to bring over not only librarians, library advisors, experts, but also to connect them with vendors and start some reasonable discussion. But I would also like to maybe take it from the beginning to give you, let's say, more overview of what the Folio project is. You can hear also a person from EBSCO talking about Folio. And during the break, I got a question about this relation. So maybe this would also help you to, or this would help me to clarify what it is like. So the Folio project has started in 2016 as a discussion of around 50 people from open library environment, index data, and the EBSCO information services. So based on this, the Folio project has started as an open source community. So EBSCO is not an owner of Folio. We are just one of the participants who is also investing in this project and contributing to that. So that was 2016. These are the participants involved in the Folio project by now. Not all of them, but at least just for your reference. You can see these are not only the institutions, such as Chalmers University of Technology, that is going to be one of the first adopters, Caltech, Duke University, Cornell University, and others. You have already heard JISC during this day, so yes, they are also one of them. China Academic Library and Information Systems, CALIS, so-called. GBV HBZ, this is a German academic consortium. They are also one of the community within the Folio, Charles University in Prague, for example. The openness and the freedom that Folio is bringing to you is also in way of how you want to implement that. So if a library decides to implement Folio at their institution, you have more options how to do that. You can implement that on your own. You can get your servers and host it in your premises. You can implement that on your own considering the technical abilities, technical skills, and programmers. Everything can be done just at your very library. Or you can ask some third party. There will be agency that will help you and maintain the system for you if you don't have the people with the IT skills or the resources in general. Or it could be also EBSCO. We can also host, implement, maintain, and give you the support you need. So this is how it works. And maybe for your reference to show you, let's say, how the project is getting its momentum. You can see the numbers of projects as they are increasing from the left to right, where the left is the start of the project, right is now. So you can see that there is quite a significant increase, especially in the last year. So the project is alive and it's going. It's going and it's developing quite fast. You might also be asking, like, how does it work? Is it transparent? Can I look into that? Yes, you can. I will also show you where you can find more information. But also for your reference, behind me you can see a simple spreadsheet showing you the libraries involved in the project on the left side, on the right side, also the providers of the development. And you can see, let's say, a rough idea of who is responsible for what. Because Folio is not a monolithic system. It is going to be, or it is based on the microservices architecture that you have already also heard during today. So those applications or little projects are also decomposed like this. You have also heard about the conference WolfCon. It took place this year in Denver, and it was the first opportunity for the participants or the involved parties of the Folio to really meet together, do workshops, talk to each other as vendors, developers, librarians, advisors. Just a short overview. It was around 250 participants, as I said, workshops, and also there was a live stream via YouTube, such as today we also have a recording. So it also helps the other people who didn't have a chance to travel all over to Denver to also hear about that, watch it, and participate if needed, because this is all what it is about. More about Folio governance. As I said, what it is, what are the principles, how it works. So these would be the questions that I would like to give you answers for in the following slides. When you start on a project, especially when it is an open source project, it starts with an agreement, doesn't it? So we need to agree on the basic values, on the basic principles, and we need to agree on how it works. Roughly, here you can see some kind of a summary of what the project
or let's say what are the basic agreements on from the start of the project. Resources. The environment has changed quite a bit since last, let's say, 20 years. We have more and more electronic resources we need to manage at libraries. So we need to bring them together also with the print resources on the other side and make them available at a single point. Future ready. The technologies are incredibly fast in their development. So we need a system that will be prepared also on the future development. We don't need to implement something that will be obsolete once it is integrated already. So this is going to be a multi-tenant cloud-ready system that will be compatible to support your needs at the library. And it has to be open. So it does not need to close your door. It has to give you full options that you need based on the apps, based on the services you are providing. And community. So the community are the ones who design that. It's not the vendors, it's not the private companies, it's the library community who says, this is what we need the system to do. And in order to, let's say, ensure that the system is still neutral and independent, there is an open library foundation, a not-for-profit organization that, let's say, took charge of this project as one of their projects. As I said, it's it's a not-for-profit organization. So this is also where the administrative home of Folio can be considered. The bylaws adopted and published. So it gives you also the structures and everything. So they make sure that it is still consistent in this case. Here you can see quite holistic view of the whole, let's say, engine of the system. So the whole project group, so to speak, is divided into several levels that are working independently, but at the same time, they are still in touch in order to make sure that they don't develop a billion independent systems. We still need one consistent system that will be working internally. So if we look at this part in this rectangle, I'll get there in a second slide, but maybe to just explain this lazy consensus that has been adopted, what it stands for. Lazy consensus means that some rule or a principle has been adopted by the working group or by the whole community, unless there is an objection. Once there is an objection against this rule, it is going to be solved and worked on. So what's the workflow within the project management, so to speak? So there are those six layers of the project groups, from the product management down to the development. So it gives you also some recognition of function requirements versus non-function requirements. How does it work? The product council is working on prioritization of different projects to see what is more important, where we need to push, what we need to finalize, what's important. They talk to SIGs, so those special interest groups that are library advisors and specialists talking about what we need, how it has to work. And they their needs are decomposed into the processes by the product owners, while the designers work with the product owners in order to sketch the final result, what it will look like, how it will work. And of course that we need also the people who speak the language of the code, the developers, who will then make it real, or they talk also to the other layers whether or not this is possible to be done. Concerning the Folio platform, what it looks like, what's the structure of the whole system? This might also help you to maybe understand a little bit better of what's the philosophy of the whole system, of the whole project. So here we can see the architecture of the system. It starts down there from the system layer where we can expect the data, the indexing, the archives, and more, rather, let's say, the hardware part of the system. Above that, there is a Folio gateway that is based on Okapi. So this can be, you can imagine a switchboard, like in those old telephone companies when they were switching the cables. So this is the communication channel between the different apps that makes them work effectively, that makes the communication on the background. Above that, there are those microservices, applications, mini applications that will be working there as a module. For this part, you can imagine, bless you, for this one, you can imagine a smartphone. You need an app, so you just install that while you can uninstall another app. So this is the same concept that you can have even in here. And on the top, there is the end user interface or the UI toolkit, which is based also on React. For instance, this is the technology that is being used by Facebook. Again, something probably most of us know how it works. So you can see it's a contemporary technology, something that we can use. And when we go into the apps, the traditional catalogs are usually considered as those services or parts. Circulation module, cataloging module, user management, resource management, acquisitions and operation management. So you can see that even on this level, they are already structured as individual pieces. So this is the independence that it brings to you. So you can choose each piece to be what you need. Concerning the discovery and data services, it could be your discovery service, it could be your union catalog, knowledge base for the management of the both electronic and print resources, and other data services or APIs. Where can we go further? Social media, long-term preservation. We are here to talk about archiving. So this might be a great example, archiving working with the Folio as a module of your real system implementation. A little reiteration of the whole structure comes here. So in the center, you have the API. So this switchboard that will make the communication based on what you need. And around that, there are those, I could also talk plug and play modules that will take care of the resource management, the union catalog, etc., etc. The more modules you plug in, the more services you can then offer to your end users. And when we talk about long-term preservation, this is what it may look like, what it may or how it may work. So in the center, again, there is the user interface, but how does it work from the technical perspective? The library can work with many different resources. Basically, we can talk about research output. For instance, when we are talking about academic library, we can talk about classroom objects or, let's say, e-learning data sets. We can talk about long-term preservation and others. For the end user, it doesn't really make a difference. But for you as an administrator, for you as a librarian, it makes a difference. So the idea of Folio is to allow you to do all the cataloging within the Folio. So you can take the record from any data set you have, change it, adjust that, delete or add a new record, put it back. And considering the long-term preservation or LTP, you should have the possibility to say, okay, this record will be put into the LTP. This will not be put there. So you have the full independence on this. And that was also something that the ladies were talking about in relation to archiving, that you should have the independence to really set it up the way you need. And when we're talking about the end user, as I said, it usually does not really make difference to them. But once you have a long-term preservation or the archive, legal deposit, whatever, It is not there just to be there. It is there to be accessible. We want to have all the content to be available to the end users. At least this is my idea as a librarian. So on one hand, we get the traditional resources that we usually give access to for the end users. On the other hand, you have the archives, you have the LTP. And Folio, what it does, it gives you also the front end, one single search box, if you need to, where the end user can find whatever his or her library offers to them. The front face or the front end can be also various different interfaces. It could be EBSCO Discovery Service, it could be Viewfind, it could be your own interface if you want to program that, or it could be anything else. And when we were talking about flexibility and independence, with Folio, the libraries should not just adopt the workflows that have been defined, but Folio project is looking for a way of the flexible workflow management, where you should be able to create the workflow based on your needs. So this should be the philosophy that you can benefit from as a community. Because library systems are not anymore to be tailored as, let's say, one size fits all, but it should be tailored to your very needs. And if you want to get involved and you haven't started yet, do you have developers? If you do, yes. You can then go directly to dev.folio.org, you can go to folioproject.slack.com, and you can even find on GitHub the source codes and you can work on them. But you can directly get involved in active development of the project. If you don't get developers, it's not the end of the world. You can still get involved, because as you're a librarian, you're a cataloger, you're acquisitioner, you know how it works at your very library, you know what you need, and for instance, traditional systems don't give it to you. So you can get also involved in this project via wiki at folio.org or via discuss.folio.org. If you're not sure how you can participate, you can also go to folio.org and find your way, or you can just watch it. You can just follow what's going on, what are the discussion boards, what are the issues that are being solved. So just go to folio.org. That would be my first recommendation. I was still just in theory, and I know that you might have been expecting something more practical, especially after what you have seen here as a demo of the archive. So I would like maybe to confirm that the first beta version, or let's say demo version, of Folio is already working and fully operational. At the moment, I'm not able to show you how it works. However, if anyone is interested to see some kind of basic idea of how it works, what the end user interface will look like, what are the workflows for the administrators, we would be more than happy also to organize some kind of a WebEx or a Skype call or some kind of a presentation with the people who can really show you how it works and who can address your questions. And that would be more or less that. So I will end this with a repetition of Folio. Future of libraries is open. I do believe that you agree with me. If you have any questions, I'm here, so I will be more than happy to answer them or to get your questions to the people who know the answers and get back to you with those right answers. Otherwise, thank you very much for once again for the opportunity to be here and for your attention. Thank you.
Don't worry, I'm also not a native speaker in English, so you can also ask me.
Okay, let me just ask, did it make sense at least? Okay, thank you.